Is your bank at home in three markets or 53? With on-the-ground specialists in over 50 markets, HSBC UK has been voted the leading bank for trade for the last 7 years. So let us help you navigate international business like a local. Search HSBC International Bank to find out more. HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. Voted the UK's best trade finance bank for 7 consecutive years by Euromoney UK Trade Finance Survey 2023.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, January 16th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, New Year's may have come and gone, but there's still time to lay a strong foundation for the year ahead. One move to consider, a digital decluttering. From email folders to password managers, we'll find out how to make all aspects of your digital life as zen as possible from WSJ contributor Perry Ormont-Blumberg. And then, those fears around automation, the worry that robots are going to take jobs, may be overblown when it comes to manufacturing. WSJ reporter Lauren Weber tells us about a factory she visited in Ohio and why it's surprisingly hard to get robots to do simple tasks like straightening candle wicks. But first, did you resolve to keep things tidy this year? To organize the pantry or finally clean out the garage? Well, you might want to consider bringing that decluttering spirit to your digital life. WSJ contributor Perry Ormont-Blumberg is here to tell us how. Perry, I think of my digital life as being pretty organized, but it sounds like everyone could benefit from a declutter. What exactly should we be focused on organizing here?
A lot of times we think about decluttering our physical space, but oftentimes it's actually the digital clutter in our life that impacts both our day-to-day productivity and even our mood the most. So password managers, organizing your photos more smartly, learning how to create separate email accounts just to organize and streamline shopping receipts and the like, and decluttering your smartphone can all be really smart moves.
Okay, let's dig in a little bit. Let's start with passwords. For people who store their passwords in like spreadsheets or maybe even on pieces of paper, real old school, what can they do to make their lives a little bit easier?
Yes, I'll admit, I was just like you. Much to everyone's dismay, I've got a spreadsheet with all of my passwords and very disorganized tabs amongst them that I'm sure hackers are just waiting to get their hands on. But in speaking with about a half a dozen digital organizers, I realized that going with a password manager is really the best safe and secure route these days. It's also super affordable. So 1Password, for example, it starts at $3 a month, and it really does a lot for you to keep your passwords safe, secure. There are also options available for families, larger teams, corporate groups.
Okay, how about for the phone itself?
Whenever you're picking up your phone, the first thing you see is your home screen. So one thing time and time again, digital organizers told me is to leave a little bit of blank space on that front home screen. When you pick up your phone, you might have shopping apps and travel apps and social media apps. One smart tip is to organize your like apps together. So maybe you have a folder for parenting stuff. Maybe you have a folder for like your smart home stuff. And then when you leave that blank space on your home screen, the only apps you should have on your home screen are apps that you use every single day.
We can think of our phone app pages as this kind of black hole, but there is no black hole bigger in the digital lives than email. If I have 25,000 unread emails, where should I even start?
One thing you can do if you're looking to clean up your email is make an email alias. You use one main account for your personal life or your work life, or perhaps both, but you also want to have an account that's totally different for all of your Amazon receipts, all of your online shopping, things that aren't urgent on your calendar. Having a separate email account, it's really easy to do on the Gmail app. You can integrate and check multiple accounts through one master account. And then you can designate different emails for different purposes. You can also sign up for an unfollow program, they're called. So one example of that is Unroll.me. It's totally free. You might want to be wary that the company does sell user data and information. So if privacy is a concern, you might do better with a paid option. But Unroll.me will basically put unsubscribe on autopilot. So all those newsletters you don't read, all those automatic emails you get, it'll automatically unenroll you from all of these.
That was WSJ contributor Perry Ormont-Blumberg. Coming up, why automating one seemingly simple task at a factory in Ohio could take 20 years. That's after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you picture a factory and don't work in one, you might imagine it's chock full of robots, whirring and buzzing to make whatever thing is coming out the end of the production line. Well, it may surprise you to know that most factories in the U.S. may not even have robots. According to 2019 data from the U.S. Census Bureau, only 11% of U.S. manufacturing plants reported that they used robots. One reason? Engineering robots to do the things that humans do can be surprisingly difficult, and that's a big challenge for American manufacturers. Here to tell us about one factory's experience is WSJ reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, your story looks at a company called Aileen Candles in Ohio. Why is it looking to automate this process of straightening candle wicks?
I heard from some automation consultants that it used to be that companies wanted to automate processes because they wanted to save money, they wanted to be more profitable, they wanted to be more efficient, they wanted to compete better with overseas rivals. Now, often the rationale for automating is they just simply can't find people to do some of the jobs.
Wow, that is counterintuitive.
It is. And this is partly a good thing. It means that these are often the lower paid jobs, the lower skilled jobs. It may mean that people are finding opportunities for better paying jobs or jobs that fit their skills better. That is a positive, but it also has to do with a lot of demographic changes. Our birth rate has gone down continually for decades. Immigration policy has been very unpredictable and chaotic over the last, say, 20 years or so. So there are a lot of reasons why there aren't more people coming into the labor market.
Okay, so Aileen Candles wants to automate this process. How's that going?
So various parts of their candle making process are already automated. For example, like dispensing wax into the glass jars for the candles. But there's one particular job that they're having a very hard time hiring people for, and that is straightening the wicks. As the candles go down the conveyor belt at a very, very slow pace, there are a few people on either side of the line who stand there with basically needle-nose pliers and pull the wicks up and center them, make sure they're right in the center of the candle. They're having a really hard time keeping people in that job. It's very boring, and yet you also have to pay close attention. It's exhausting. You're standing up all day. It falls into what automation experts call the 3 Ds, dull, dangerous, or dirty jobs. So they're having a hard time keeping people in that job. That's why they decided we need to automate this one. I mean, this is a company that is hoping to have a lot of growth in the next few years. If they can't hire enough people now, let's say that they grow 50%, they're worried that they're not going to be able to find enough people as they need more production workers.
Okay, that sounds like an impediment. So how is it actually going about solving this problem?
They sent out a request for proposals to about 20 or 30 engineering companies to ask, how would you fix this problem? They got proposals back from a bunch of them. They gave 3 of those companies money to build a prototype of the machine that they had in mind. And then they invested well over $1 million in one of those machines. And I saw the machine, and it is massive and very complicated. It has multiple stations because one of the things that human beings can do very easily is take those needle nose pliers that you're using to straighten the wicks. They get wax buildup on them. You can just pull out a rag from your pocket and wipe off that buildup. It's really hard to do that with a robot without having to stop production. And so one of the challenges is like, how do you just do that really basic thing? So there's a bunch of different parts to it. And so you have to figure out how to get the machine to do all of these many parts.
We hear so much about the threat of robots taking jobs. What does the situation tell us about that narrative?
Yeah, I asked a professor at MIT who studies automation about this. And she was saying, first of all, robots have penetrated far less than you would think. And the other piece is very relevant to this story about the candle makers, which is robots have a lot of deficiencies. So she uses a term, zero-sum automation, where you may be able to use automation and robots to do some aspects of the work, but then you need additional people to program the robots, fix the robots, oversee the robots, and compensate for the things that they can't do.
What did the workers at Aileen say about automation?
I spoke to a few employees who had been there for 10 years or so, and some of them had already been automated out of parts of their jobs. And they were very positive about the possibilities of automation. For example, one of them had previously been gluing the wicks into the bottom of the jars. She's now a line lead. So as robots take over some of the jobs, you can upskill people for better opportunities. Will people lose jobs? In the grand scheme, yes. There won't always be enough openings for all of those people to be upskilled into newer jobs.
How typical do you think the situation at Aileen is?
I would say that's very common. I spoke to a lot of companies, and I did hear this same story from many different places. Now, one question is like, okay, you could attract people if you just raised the pay more. And that was something that I discussed with Aileen. They have raised pay for that wick straightening job faster than for any of the other positions. But that only goes so far. For one thing, they can only afford to raise wages to a certain extent. The other thing is, if all your competitors in the area who are facing the same labor problems are also raising pay, that's not necessarily going to solve your problem.
That was WSJ reporter Lauren Weber. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.